Welcome to the United Cast, it's Entertainment Talks podcast for Man United. I'm your host Matthew, and today talking about our 1-0 defeat at home against the 10-man Everton in the Premier League. We're back. We are back. Of course, missed a couple of games. There was the 3 o'clock game, I think, Nottingham Forest. And there was the 2-2 draw with Tottenham, where I was ill for that game. I think I missed most of the game, and then I saw, interestingly, did see the last 5 minutes, which was when most of the goals happened. Anyways, move on from those, and another defeat under the books of one Ruben Amorim. Granted, haven't lost for 5 games. I think it was, what, 3 wins in a row, 2 draws. But it becomes a harder pill to swallow when you lose like that. This isn't a normal way to lose a game. Lots of interesting talking points today. I've got to get back in the groove of things a little bit here with the United cast, because, you know, the 2 games I missed, and then there was the international break, so it's been a minute since I've actually talked about this team, I suppose. Has it been a nice break? Kind of, but we were winning a couple of games, so there's that. But missed the Ruben Amorim. So you go down 10 men. Sorry, not him. Everton go down 10 men, score afterwards, and we failed to break them down. We tried very hard to break them down. Wasn't good enough, wasn't clinical enough. Certainly not enough urgency, not enough pressure. Manager got a bunch of things wrong, as he usually does. Playing a flat back five at home while you're losing against 10 men is indeed a very strange thing to do. That's a very odd choice to make. It's very, very negative. So you got that going on. And then the fact that we just didn't really put any pressure on Everton. We poked and prodded at their goal a bit. You know, whipped some balls in. Didn't really amount to much. Some decent substitutions. Overall, a really, really poor performance, though. I thought Everton, even though we had more of the ball in the end, it didn't really matter. But, credit to Everton. They played incredibly well. They got their goal, even after going down to 10 men. Because you would have thought, right, you would have thought, okay, coming into this game, if we win, we got the opportunity to climb into the top four and do something, right? Whether it's fight for you, put ourselves into a good spot for, like, fighting for European spot, or even long dream of, okay, City, Liverpool not doing so well, Chelsea a weird team, okay, Arsenal are in good form, maybe we could get top three, maybe we could really push and do something. But no, the opportunity presented itself, and we couldn't have failed more. That makes sense. Just they go down to 10 men, flat back five from us, no pressure. They still played better than us when they had 10 men, and there was the times in the game where I forgot they even had 10 men until I looked at the scoreline, or, you know, glanced at the time. And of course, the time's got, you know, the scoreline and the red card, and I was like, oh yeah, gone down to 10 men. I couldn't remember who'd even been sent off. It was Drissa Gay, I think his name is, yeah. We'll talk about that. I'll break down the, parts and pieces in the summary. But I'm not interested in, like, oh, win a couple of games, oh, lose a couple of games, can't climb into the top four, and then, oh, win a couple of games, sit, you know, seventh, eighth, oh, couple of points off top four, or whatever, and then lose a couple of games, and then what, just finish the season 10th or something, and what, that will be viewed as better because it's 10th instead of 15th, I almost said 16th, this isn't a game you walk away from and go, like, a sort of shock, disappointment, because we know that these players and this manager are capable of pulling this off. But, man, you'd have thought that Well, we did have a numerical advantage. We did have more players on the pitch from minute 13 onwards. And you would have thought as well, the way that red card happened, that it would have like caused a bit of disarray in Everton's team. We sort of pick up a bit of speed or a bit of pace. Still at 0-0, by the way. And then go on and do something. But full of poor performances today. Although, I think the way Amrim set us up to start with, you know, Amrim in the left 10, Mazraoui right wing back, didn't really make a lot of sense, didn't really work, looked a bit awkward. So this one's on the player and the managers. Sorry, the players and the manager. But, wow. Where does that actually put us? Sitting in 10th, Everton, and we're on the same points is Liverpool and Everton, who are right below us. We're 10th, they're 11th, and then 12th. And then Brentford got 16 points, Newcastle got 15 points. But yeah, looking at that 18, you know, 19, 20, 21, could have been sitting in the top four right now. But just one of them games we had to make a meal out of, and we didn't even finish the meal. And it's interesting, again, kind of, the panicked football coming in to this game from like the 60th minute onwards. I kind of noticed that. That's something I sort of tend to notice in the last 10 minutes, which is when the players go, oh God, we're actually losing. We should, you know, try something to get back into this game. But just didn't happen. But yeah, I've still got the same opinion as before. Manager needs to go. Okay, we won 3 games in a row and then drew 2 games, so 5 games without defeat. But if this sort of thing can still happen and the same sort of mistakes can still happen, I just still don't really know what we're holding on to with this manager. Yeah, and this was an interesting test in a way of for his selection choices, because, okay, you got Sesko, who's not been great, granted. He's out injured. Cunha was out injured. Maguire, I think, was unavailable. So it's like, okay, what are you going to do with the front line? And then you immediately resort to putting a defender at right wing back. I'd say something that actively annoys me is when I look at our team sheet and the bench and I go, we've actually got more defenders in this squad than anything else. And that sort of, that annoys me. That really annoys me. But yeah, there we go. Yeah, just really, really poor. But fair play to Everton, fair play to David Moyes, because he did well. Yeah, it did us. And there you go. All right, let's move into the summary, and so we'll pick up some other talking points as we go along. They made a sub in the first 10 minutes. Coleman had a problem, I suppose. Didn't make a difference, though. And then 13 minutes into the game, so we had just under 18 minutes after this to take advantage of the 10 men. Jesse Gay gets sent off. Now, I don't personally think this was a red card. I think he had, was it Michael Keane, I think his name was? He had a bit of a disagreement with him. He sort of lashed out a bit, gave him like a bit of a slap, and then got given a red card. I didn't know you could be sent off for like aggravating your own teammates. Like, if he'd slapped a Man United player, that would make more sense, but because they brought the rule up on Sky or whatever, didn't they? Of like, it's the code of conduct thingamabob of, you know, it's to do with violence. But it's far from the worst thing I've seen someone do to someone in football. But, like, referee deemed it a red card. Apparently that's part of the rule book. So, but I haven't seen something like that happen for a very long time. But really poor from them in a way of, Gahey just kind of losing his cool against his own teammate. Like, you'd understand if, let's say, one of our players had aggravated him and he'd flipped out, but against your own teammate is a odd thing to do. And yeah, teammates can, I've seen teammates, you know, shout at each other like, hey, why didn't you cover this bit, or why didn't you do this and that, but not doing this. So yeah, it looked like, and granted, even before this 13 minutes, they'd started the game off much better than us. We had like a couple of half chances, but they looked the more threatening from minute 1 to minute 90, really. But then, yeah, he got sent off, and you think, right, there you go. That should really be a win on the plate at home against Everton. It's still 0-0, but they're now down to 10 men, and you've got a good, like, around about 80 minutes to destroy them, really. You really should have done so. It's interesting looking at what we didn't do in this game and then looking at the Chelsea game. But then Chelsea had more sort of like weird subs after they had, what was it, their goalkeeper sent off. So then they scored a goal, Drewsby Hall, assist from Garner. Why didn't we keep James Garner? I'm very confused as to why we don't keep certain players. Profit and all that sort of stuff, I imagine. Very, very poor defensively. Look, I'm a big fan of De Ligt and Euro, two of some of my favourite players in this team. Really, really poor from both of them. They just strolled through our defence. No one really puts enough pressure on. I guess he saw a bit of space, a bit of an opportunity. Goalkeeper could have maybe done a little bit better, whatever. Gets a good shot off, and I saw some people saying at halftime that's actually his weaker foot. He did look a little bit, you know, you can kind of tell slightly a player's use their weaker foot, because I don't really know much about this guy. I've seen him around in that, but yeah, just whipped it in the top corner, so fair play. We didn't put in anywhere near enough pressure here. There was just sort of, we were just sort of very static for a couple of minutes, and they just strolled through us and whipped one in the top corner. 1-0, there you go. After going down to 10 men. That's the more bizarre part, isn't it? It's like, if they had gone 1-0 up and then had a player sent off and then gone, right, let's really sort of, you know, back to the wall defending, that would make more sense, wouldn't it? But how many teams go down to 10 men and then take the lead? Weird. Just strange. I'm sure it happens in football games, but you don't see it happen often, do you? It's more the other way around. Or more the other way around in terms of they get a player sent off and the other team scores, which is what should have happened. So, but great goal from him. Again, great play from Garner. No one really puts in enough of effort to really close this down, get some space, whips up top corner. That was pretty much it for the first half. Some subs made at half-time, or one sub made at half-time. Mason Mount on for Mazraoui. I think it shifted to... Ahmad definitely went right wing back, didn't he? And then I think, yeah, Mason Mount would have gone left 10 where Ahmad was, wasn't he? And then obviously Mazraoui's not on the pitch. But as soon as I saw, the moment I saw that in the team lineup, because you sort of look through it and you look and think like, okay, yeah, that one makes sense. And then you go, oh, what's up with these? And I've not liked Mazraoui right wing back for ever since he's first played at right wing back. He's just not a wing back at all. I see him there and then I see Ahmed left 10 and I'm like, ugh. It just feels like I haven't even seen a ball be kicked yet and it just feels unbalanced already. So really disappointing to see that. But, like, you could have made that change so much earlier. You had so much time. Whether it was after the red card or... after the red card would have been a good time to make that change, because it was obvious from as soon as Ahmed started getting the ball and as soon as Mazraoui started getting the ball that they shouldn't be in the positions that they're in. But whether it was after the first 15 minutes or after the goal in half an hour, which of course were about 15 minutes apart, you don't have to wait till half time to make your first subs, so we should have just done that much earlier. How much of a difference that would have made, we'll never know now, but yeah, I think it was pretty obvious to see. And even if you'd like swapped him and Mbeumo, put Mbeumo left 10, that still doesn't really, like, them two on the right hand side has been so good for us, I just don't know why you would change that. Plus you've got Mount on the bench, you've got Cobby on the bench. I don't know, this manager is, or you could have, like, put Bruno there, put Ugarte in midfield, might have got a better performance out of Bruno that way. I don't know, there's other options. It says here Casemiro got booked, misses next match. I didn't see that come up, but, okay, apparently Casemiro won't be playing against Palace. That's probably the 5 red card rule. And then 58 minutes in, Cobby on for Casemiro. Good sub. I like that. And then Dalot on for Dorgu. He keeps doing this. although we don't really... How else could you have done this? You could have probably put Shaw left wing back. And then put... I wouldn't like Dalot at right centre back. You could have put him there. You're talking at this point about, like, okay, just start putting some attacks together and don't worry about your defence as much. Plus, again, you're playing against 10 men, so there's that. So I guess if you'd put, like, Shaw left wing back, Dalot right centre back, and then shifted probably Euro to the left centre back, Dalot in the middle. That's what I would have preferred anyway. Because, yeah, there's just... So that's three instances in one game of three players being out of position. Mazraoui, Ahmad, and then I know Dalot can play left wing back, but he's obviously much better suited to the right wing back. But there you go, he made those changes. So only... Well, yeah, the Mount one's good, although the Mount one should have happened earlier. The Cobbie one is good. Because at that point, you kind of forego having a DM, and you just put two attacking midfielders on the pitch. I know they're the central midfield positions, but Cobbie and Bruno are attacking midfielders. Casemiro is a DM, so you forego that. I agreed with them there. And then you can put the low one, but yeah, it's left wing back's just a bit awkward. Plus, at that point in the game, when we were trying to whip crosses in, as much as I don't really like Luke Shaw anymore, he's one of our better players for that, so pushing him further up rather than keeping him back, I don't know, could have just worked better. Plus, then if Dalot does get a bit more forward, where Euro was getting to, Dalot could cross the ball in from there. Yeah, it's just some better choices that could have been made. And then they made a load of subs in the last 10 minutes. So there was all of that. So I'm just looking at some stuff. It got to a point as well, you know, when it goes like, you know, 60th minute, 70th minute, 80th minute, 90th minute, it's like, all right, just do something or just end the game, because you're then kind of just watching the same thing happen over and over again. Us whip crosses in, no one can get on the end of it, they scare us by getting a little mini counter attack. But wow, what a game for me to come back to, eh? Well, I say come back to podcast on or whatever. So, anyway, let's do something for player ratings. There's not going to be many above a zero today. Let's do that. I'll see you for that. Who's my man of the match? I don't even know. I've got two players in mind. All right, let's take a break, come back, and do player ratings. See you for that in a minute. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, let's get into player ratings. Let's start off with... Okay, are we picking Ahmad or are we picking Mbeumo for Man of the Match? I think Mbeumo is a little bit more consistent in this game. No one was, like, great in this game, but those two are at least decent to good. But I think Mbeumo is a little bit more productive than Ahmad. So I'm just by the scrape of whatever going to go with Mbeumo. Going to just give him a 7. Slightly above average, still not brilliant, but one of our better players on the pitch. Let's go back to the front with, is it Le Mans or Le Mans? I keep hearing different pronunciations. Let's go with Le Mans. Couldn't really have done terribly more with the goal. Of course, he got his hand on it, but I'd more blame the defence for letting him, the player, get that close anyway. Distribution was okay. Made a couple other decent saves from what I remember, so I'm just going to give him a 6. Pains me to do this, but Euro and Delit. Delit, I think, was a little bit better than Euro. There was a couple of game-saving, well, say game-saving, we did lose the game anyway, game-saving tackles from Delit. So just because of that, I'm going to give him a 1, but I've got to give Euro a 0, I think. Just really, really weird from him today. Just, yeah, misplacing passes and all kinds of just really strange stuff. I love both of them. I really do. But you've got to be fair and judge your favourites fairly, haven't you? And they're both really, really poor. And it was just really strange. Let's go to Luke Shaw. And I'll give him a 4. The intent was there. Was he played out of position? Arguably. Still a couple of wonky bits and pieces from him. But he was fine, I suppose. Mazraoui, going to give him a 0. Got into plenty of crossing positions and didn't really do anything for it. Again, played kind of out of position, but still on the right side of the pitch, just too far up, I suppose. But did get lots and lots of crossing opportunities and just didn't really do anything with them. So he didn't really do anything else. Give him a 0. Casemiro, I think I'm going to give a 0 to as well. Did get himself booked and got penalised for that. They've been saying a lot recently about, okay, when we played with Casemiro, we've had more control in this game. But Ghana just owned our midfield, or owned the midfield today, really. And Casemiro and Bruno didn't really do anything about it. So I'm going to give Casemiro a 0. Bruno Fernandes, I'm going to give him a 3. Same kind of issues, just lack of control, and there was a few, there was this like awkward shot he did with his right foot that he should have just either hit with his left or laid off to somebody else. We could have scored from that. Did have a couple of decent shots on target, so that was good. There was at least some intent there, so that's why I give him a 3. Dorgu was fine. I don't really know what this guy's position is. I'd be really genuinely curious to swap him and Dorgu around in one game. Sorry, swap Shaw and Dorgu around in one game and see, like, in the crossing positions Dorgu gets into to give those opportunities to Luke Shaw, and then see, yeah, I'd be curious to swap him around for one game, or even just for a half or something. Because Luke Shaw, as much as, again, I think he's fallen off massively, he's still pretty good at crossing, and Dorgu really isn't. It also still really, really bugs me that sometimes when we break down that left-hand side, Dorgu is the furthest player forward, and we're supposed to have at least 3 players in front of him. So I don't know how that keeps happening, but it's like, you don't want Dorgu running in an attacking sense at the opposition's goal, because he's just not an attacking player, really. He's got a lot of athleticism. But maybe he should use that just to, like, trap back and run after wingers and stuff. I don't know. So, anyway, what am I going to give him? I'll chuck him a 4 as well. Boomer, already talked about him. Thought he was really good. Well, good for the most part. Ahmad got the ball a lot. Did a lot of things. Was clearly much better when he was switched to the right-hand side. But just had an unfortunate, awkward start to this game with, being played in the left 10, he just looked awkward. Like, just the way he plays and the angles, I don't know what Ruben was thinking there, really. So, yeah. And then Xerxes gave the ball away a couple of times. He was okay with his link-up play. I think one of the problems we ended up having, is there was a lot of service into the box, and it would have been interesting if Olin was still in the team, or Sesko. But we don't actually have an out-and-out striker in this team. Because Xerxes is supposed to be the same profile as Sesko, which is like the hold-up striker player. Like, you want a poacher in the box. And Xerxes just sort of wasn't there, or he was the one. He got a couple of headers, didn't he? Did almost score from Pickford's crazy save. But, yeah, overall I thought he was fine. I'll give him a 6. Let's go to the bench. Mason Mount I thought was really good, really bright. Probably should have started. Again, if you pop him left 10, you put Ahmed right wing back, I think things just instantly look much better. I think him and Cobby had a little bit of a knock, so maybe that's why they didn't start the game or something. So, anyway. They were both pretty good. Cobby could have maybe done a little bit more, but he did get into some decent positions. But just... Yeah, he was fine as well. I think also for players like Cobby and Xerxy, who have been out the team, I think they need a run of games. Because at least Mason Mount's had a run of games. But Cobby and certainly Xerxy have like barely played any minutes. And both had knocks as well, didn't they? So, and then Dallo, he was fine as well, I suppose. On the bench, we had Biendia, Dallo, Heaven, Lacey, who I believe is an academy player. Good to see that. Cobby Mano, Malasia. I thought he was out on loan. I saw him on the bench and I was like, oh, right. I thought he was in somewhere else. Let me just click on him a second, actually. Player profile, because I can look at transfers. 2025 was loaned to PSV. So that would have been this summer, I assume. And then 2025 returned from loan. I don't actually know if that was like he was loaned out in January and then returned in the summer and we just haven't seen him. But... he's had a funny old career, hasn't he? But yeah, for those of you who don't know, Malasia was on the bench. And then Sandro Martinez, good to see him back. Mason Mount and Ugarte were on the bench as well. Cunha missing with health problems. Maguire had a hamstring injury. Sesko had a knee injury. So, there we go. Alright, that's it. We've got, when is the 30th? That is on this week on Sunday. We face Crystal Palace away from home. They've been in a bit of a funny form, but are they better than us currently? Yeah, they are better than us currently. And then West Ham at home. That'll be an interesting one because West Ham have like started picking up a bit of form but have been awful. But then after that, speaking of awful, we've got Wolves away after that. Now, Wolves can be a bit of a sticky team for us, but they've literally got 3 points out of the, 12 games. They've been... terrible Wolves. So if there's one game for the rest of the year, I suppose, to expect something from, if you can't get something at Wolves, I don't know what we're doing. But anyway, yeah, Palace away, West Ham home, Wolves away is the next couple of fixtures. But yeah, this Sunday lunchtime, Palace away. How do I think that one's gonna go? I suppose it might depend on injuries. Like, is Cunha going to be back? Is Sesko going to be back? Where are you going to play Ahmad? Where are you going to play Mazraoui, I suppose? Also depends what Crystal Palace are like, but... it's at Selhurst. Difficult place to go. Palace are good. Even though they lost Eze, they're still really good, so... I have to just wait and see. Alright, give me your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on this really just dreary, disappointing defeat. At home, 1-0 against Everton against 10 men, conceding after they've had someone sent off and playing a back five. What's your thoughts on Ruben Amorim? Are you Amorim in, Amorim out? Not sure. I'm still very firmly Amorim out. I still don't really know how you survive a job after finishing 15th and losing a cup final. It still just is weird. But we shall see how all that goes. Anyway, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org. Social media is either eTalk, your care, or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else we do on entertainmenttalk.org. TV, games, films, Monday Night Podcast. Take a look out for all of that if you want to. As well. So yeah, United Cast back on Sunday. Gaming Talk should be tomorrow. Breaking Bad, penultimate episode of season 4 on Wednesday. Of course, I had 2 Toy Story podcasts out this weekend because it was the 30th anniversary for Toy Story. So there's a podcast celebrating that and one celebrating Pixar's 30th anniversary, technically, kind of. So look out for those ones. Reviews of things coming soon. I just finished a game called Keeper, so look out for my review for that. Little Nightmares 3 should be up next once I finish that game. Keeper I should be doing tomorrow, by the way, on Tuesday. Hoping to get that recorded before Gaming Talk, so we shall see. So look out for all of that. When I'm out on social media, if you want to tell other people about what we're doing, you can do that on social media, of course, and word of mouth and stuff. If you want to mention something we've podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options, look for that as well if you like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio Tuesdays, and geektown.co.uk should be a new episode tomorrow. So for Tuesdays, look out for that. We're on YouTube at Entertainment Talk Plays for all of our bits and pieces as well. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.